You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. This is AfterBuzz TV, Boardwalk Empire Edition. Tonight's host is Paul Ashton. Joining Paul will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Bethany Jaber, Kevin Undergaro, and Phil Svitek. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 347-855-8269. That's 347-855-8269. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, Paul Ashton!
It was a great episode, as was tonight, episode 9. Excuse me. Let me give you a quick recap of what we saw. At the very beginning, the Delario brothers are identified as Eli's shooters from the casino robbery. Nux sends the newly returned Jimmy out to get revenge before Jimmy is arrested by Van Alden. Margaret discovers she has some influence saving the French dress shop that got her start at Nucky's command at the beginning of the season. Jimmy's wife's life becomes more complicated with Jimmy's return, and the violence and the fight for the liquor business in Atlantic City comes right to Nucky's front door as Rothstein steps up the challenge. So, one hell of an episode. Let's start with talking about Jimmy, ladies and gentlemen. He's back. He comes back and we see him standing in Nucky's office with a coffee in his $70 suit. Looking like quite a different man than...
Very big difference from the last time he was in Nucky's office.
Right?
Yeah, it's very dapper.
He carried himself differently as well. There was a difference to the quality of their dialogue and their...
He was making demands.
Right. He was setting an agenda. Right. And holding, and most importantly, holding Nucky accountable.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like making... The blood's on your hands too.
He wanted to hear him say it. What do you want me to do? You want me to go out and what?
He was basically saying man up. Now, he was saying that in the earlier episodes. Remember, he was saying, you know, you can't be a half gangster.
Right.
And basically now he's not as polite about it.
No.
He's saying to him, so just admit it.
But I also feel like we see the growth that he had in Chicago with Al and what he kind of grew into there as being this little star. I feel like he's got more confidence and he's not afraid to say to acknowledge that he's bringing something to the table for Nucky as well, that he's bloody good at it, and he's coming as an equal man, you know. Like, I didn't feel the sense of obligation.
His performance is just so lovely because, I mean, you see the evolution. He's so at ease in his eye contact and so direct, where before he was like, I mean, not hunched over, but his shoulders were a little up, and he was a little timid in making eye contact.
Shell-shocked by the war and, you know, just hadn't really found his place, and now he's fully committed. He's a full gangster.
Right.
Very much a man.
Right.
And that he brings his mate Harrow in as well, so we've got the sharpshooter there.
Right.
And we'll talk about, I was waiting for him to come.
Oh, you'll see him. Don't worry about that.
Well, at one point in tonight's episode, but obviously it took a different turn. We'll come to that. But, so yeah, a great little scene, and I like the way that it made Nucky. We watched Nucky have to deal with that, you know, because as the politician, it's all about how you frame it and how you phrase it and what you can sweep under the carpet and can't. And he's a master of that, and you know, Jimmy put the little like kind of he slammed a home right at the end with the kid's picture.
Oh, God,
You want me to get the kid as well?
Yeah, the kid.
Right. Go ahead, say it. And you know, Nucky wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
But now,
but
the way this episode,
But I almost felt like Jimmy had won that scene. Like, he could have forced the issue, but he was like, "Nah, I'm not gonna force your hand on this one. But I'm still in control."
But
if there was a winner and a loser in that scene, the winner was clearly Jimmy.
Definitely. I mean, for me, it was definitely Jimmy because, I mean, still at the end, Nucky didn't say anything. He said yes. Right. He didn't say, go kill him, which is what Jimmy truly wanted to hear, right. Instead of just yes.
Yeah, he's still a politician. He still had that. Okay, so he's back. It's good to have him back, quite frankly.
Although I'm going to miss the stuff in Chicago.
That was good,
to see the development of Capone. Yeah. And, yeah, and
something tells me that there are going to be some heads clashing in the future. There are going to be some rivalries.
Historically speaking, there were rivalries. There was... They work together, so yeah, no, you'll be seeing more. It's just, it was nice to have it every episode.
Yeah.
I really appreciated the mislead with the mom. That finally paid off, because I had been waiting with anticipation to see, like, whose side she was playing on.
Yeah.
And it's...
What a great undercover cop. I mean, right. She went all the way, right?
Go, mom!
She really took it for the team.
Right.
No pun intended. I mean, that was some great work from mum. And when you got a mum like that, really, you don't have to worry.
But it's such a great show, and the directors and the actors are so good on it that you could see just in a look, and maybe it's the editor as well, but you see, there was a look in her face where she had a little regret because she likes Luciano.
Yeah, she liked him.
And
yeah.
I think that's ultimately what will make it so she doesn't get killed by him. And she'll probably still have some kind of unsteady alliance with him.
I don't know. Really? I think she might be gone. She might be a goner.
I think they're going to take her off the show.
Yeah,
do we know anything?
Why is she still every episode a guest star? She's been in more episodes than she hasn't of the nine, and
so
she's still
Gretchen
the first.
Well, Noel is built as a guest star as well.
Who is?
That is, isn't that the mom?
That's the mom.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking somebody else. Yeah, she's built as a guest star.
Yeah, every week.
You know, she really is a big target in terms of plot point if you were to take her out.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, well, it also gives Jimmy, like, the most, like, the biggest revenge.
Right. Kind of, who knows? You know, maybe she will.
Yeah, maybe. Also, but of course, you know, I was thinking, why didn't you just shoot him right then and there? Obviously, he didn't want to have to clean up the mess and do it. But had he would have been stuffed because Van Alden was outside the door.
Right.
You know, and then he would have had a sixth murder on his hands to try and get out of. Anyway, so just before the arrest and the confrontation with Lucky, of course, he goes back home. And surprises.
Sorry, I jumped you.
That's all right. No. He surprises Mrs. Darmody in the middle of it, like about to jump into a threesome.
And reluctant on the threesome.
Right. Yeah. So how do you think that it happened? She was getting photographs done with the guy and the gal. He probably always wanted the threesome. She's fallen in love with the wife. They've got this thing going on the side, and now he's there trying to cash in on it.
Because it's big in Paris.
Because it's big in Paris. What a dick he
was,
right?
Yeah.
What a knob.
He was.
But she really was caught with her pants around her ankles, almost. And considering the fight they had just before Jimmy left about those pictures, he knew, right? Did he know what was going on? The art's out. There are boobs on the art. And
yeah, he knew that something was up.
But then what followed was just delicious. I mean, that scene, that was probably my favorite scene, is they leave and all of a sudden we go to handheld camera, which I don't recall happening much in this. All of a sudden we just got that handheld is there. She's not even looking at him. And he goes straight in for the physical. And it felt like something Brando-esque. He wore her down. He bore down on her. That physical, like, she really resisted physically. Like, it was so wonderful the way that they brought to the table.
I bet she had fun shooting that scene.
Oh, I bet she did. But then she concedes and she softens and she accepts it. And it wasn't. And from that point, it was like it was two yeses. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And it was they walked that line so finely. I found it fascinating. You know, like,
no, I
it was
agree.
Like
it was
real,
a beautiful scene.
It was really Stanley Stella stuff.
It purely was sex because you see the next morning, she's not into him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's not into him being there, but she doesn't want to sit and have breakfast with him.
Yeah. On an emotional, mental level, but on that, they have physical chemistry. That's where they
absolutely.
Are where they
and
are.
If you remember earlier episodes, she was having sex with him. She was going to give him oral sex. Remember with the kid in the other room?
He's not looking.
I mean, So there's definitely something physical. But emotionally, seems like it's with a lesbian lover at the Photoshop.
Yeah. Although there's some part of her heart that's with him as well, I think.
I have to think so. They have a connection, and it's not just the child. And it was so clear in that scene that they're connected. It's just that.
Is it just physical though?
I think there's more. I just think that he's been away for a long time.
Yeah, he's treated her like
crap. The attachment is broken, and they can build that again.
But she's found, you know, she's another one. And how many times do you see this? It's been forced into the cookie cutter life. The bride and groom on the wedding cake. You know, you're gonna be a stay at home mom. And da 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 da. And he goes away, and she discovers art, and she discovers lesbianism.
But the art, art's been there, but is the lesbian thing
she has feelings for that lady.
But
the art, especially back then, you know, for a female to not be into, you know, vacuuming and taking care of the baby, and the mother-in-law has her completely pegged, Jimmy's mom, so just go be a bohemian, I'll raise the kid, this isn't what you want. So I think there's a physical attraction to him. But I don't think emotionally. No, I think she wants to be an artist and live the artist lifestyle.
Well, we will find out. I think
But we know I'm never wrong. So okay, kid yourself for the sake of talk. But you know I'm always right.
Well, we'll see about that.
I mean, you made a really good.
You make a good point, but I know. I think I don't know. I don't know. There's. What will be interesting is to see what happens when she is asked to leave next week by her lesbian lover, who we saw in the previews for next week, says, let's leave together.
I'm really mad at her lesbian lover. Why? I'm really pissed.
Because of the husband?
Yeah, because of the husband.
She was a pussy.
Because
she was weak.
She was like really wishy-washy, and she didn't stand up for her
at
all.
How amazingly creepy is he?
Oh, my God.
The artist didn't like your stuff. And
I know. That was all it was all a conceit, it's right? Like, just to get her into bed.
Just to get her into bed.
The whole thing was a crocodile.
It's kind of like Mary Cassatt's stuff. I'm not that into it. And she kind of just stood by and let her take the abuse.
20s.
They're
not even allowed to vote women at this time. So it's interesting that they're being as progressive as they are, yet we're seeing
You know, and like we saw, I think it was in the previous episode, the guys watching the porn on the there. It's all underground, you know, but it exists.
Guys, I could go on and on about the production design.
It's
wild. I love the authenticity that we're seeing. Speaking of the old porn films, in the old projector,
and then it catches on fire. I mean, that was brilliant.
Yeah,
and I mean it's last week and we didn't do it, but that scene between Van Alden and his wife and them being like cut off in, you know, in the shots, the
great
whole
direction.
Did you say that was the same director? Brad Anderson as well?
I've never even seen that before.
It was wonderful. Reminded me of Jane Campion, what she does in stuff like The Piano and stuff where everything's...
Who, Paul, I'm sorry.
Jane Campion. Jane.
Okay.
You know, it's like everyone, like people, like they're framed by their blocks, you know what I mean? And like Van Alden's always blocked off in things and separated.
Dark.
Because he's lacking connection.
It's such cool coloring on him all the time.
Yeah. Dark, very dark.
Anyway, just back to Jimmy and his wife. Then, of course, he goes, let's have another baby.
Right. No,
right?
And he just, because he wants to solidify that gangster lifestyle, my wife at home, raising the kids.
And she's not happy about it.
And my Friday night is for my guma, my mistress. My Saturday night's for my, you know. And he hasn't shown that side of himself yet. But he's trying to get her settled in, and she's not, this is not what she wants.
Is there like even an element of maybe perhaps like he thinks she might want that like as well, or is it, do you think it's solely what he wants?
Oh, he thinks we married for better or for worse. She's my wife, and he thinks she's gonna go along. He's trying to make this work.
So why hasn't he married her yet then? Why hasn't he actually done it?
Because he's
been
away.
A great question.
Is he's been away? So he knocked her up and then went to war?
Can they afford? I mean, I guess how much is a wedding in 1920?
I don't think it's that. I mean, not to disprove Kevin's point, but he went off to war, and that's what she was initially mad about, and that's what led to her sort of artistry in that sense. And then, you know, he leaves again a couple of weeks after coming home unexpectedly again.
Right.
So he's done this twice now.
But I think, Phil, what I'm saying is I think by him going
away,
she found that side of herself. I don't think she went and did that to rebel or pass the time, because if that were the case, then she'd say, okay, well, I'm done with that stage, and I'm going to go back to the man I love. I think she found inside of her, while he was gone, a different part of her that's blossoming, which is an artistic lesbian. You know, and I think that he's trying to get her to fit in the box. Here's your vacuum. Here's this, and she keeps showing us the signs. I'm not using the vacuum. Then he leaves. She uses the vacuum.
All right.
She, you know, so.
Okay, and now finally, before we leave, Jimmy, onto the biggest, biggest suggestion slash exciting line for me was he's in prison. Naki comes to visit him, and he says, "Well, should we call my dad?"
Oh, so we finally, it's revealed
the Commodore is Dabney Coleman.
Right.
And now it's becoming clear. So the mother was a mistress of Dabney Coleman's, which
like the,
makes perfect
the Nucky's
sense.
Mentor, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we also found out that he spent 5 years in jail for the two of them tonight. One of them had to go to jail for something.
Who was it? Yeah, I was confused. Was it the Commodore or
the
Nucky?
The Commodore went to jail for Nucky and took a fall for both of them. One of them had to go. That was what I think he said. So Jimmy's dad is one of those guys. So he was obviously a politician or something as well, and knocked up Gretchen Mol, and Nucky's ended up looking after the kid, and that explains his
it's a track record.
But also, you know how he's brought the presidential mistress taken her under his wing. He has a soft spot, you know.
Disagree. I don't think it's a soft spot. I think this is a way to control your politicians. Right. I mean, if I got your child, you're going to listen.
Well,
to
he went and did time for. If the Commodore did time for him, then that was probably the arrangement.
Yeah,
you have to take care of my kid.
Yeah, but I wonder if he has. I mean, I agree. It's totally political as well. He needs that guy to win. But I just wonder. I mean, he looks after them. I don't know. Maybe I just saw
it could
that maybe
be both.
I don't think it's.
I don't think it's just. Yeah, one-dimensional. I'm sure he has a soft spot, and it's, you know, a perfect way
I'm probably being a little bit optimistic about Nucky's good-heartedness when it comes to the ladies.
No,
and the
he
babies.
Definitely has a soft spot. No, he does, Paul. Yeah. You're right. That's why we love him.
Yeah, I guess so. So
what do you mean? You guess so? You don't love him?
No, I do love him. I mean, I think it's right. I mean, yeah, he does. He does have sympathy for those kind of women, and I think probably goes. God knows, maybe it goes back to his mother. I don't know. We don't know much about her yet, but did they?
But he's got a soft spot for his wife that's departed.
Right.
And I think that's why we love the character.
Yeah. And just finally, of course, the witness who could identify Jimmy is knocked off at the end by our inside man.
So beautifully. Bravo.
Yeah, I mean, well done him. I really didn't pick that. And I was just that moment where that kid who has the Jimmy Darmody haircut.
You
and
did,
like,
yeah.
It was, you know,
I kind of love that haircut.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of in right now.
Paul's styling.
He's pointing to his head.
Yeah. It's not quite as extreme as Jimmy's. I don't have the shave on the side, but this long bit here is any bit 20s. Whatever, blah, blah. No one can see it, so who cares? But he gets out, and he walks out right onto the edge of the beach, and I was just waiting for the bullet as he looked out to the sea, and it's all calm. I'm just waiting for Harrow's bullet from afar just to go whoosh, through and take
him
out.
Right.
As if he almost
sniper.
Knew, as if he was almost sacrificing himself. Right. I almost felt like from the sweat on his beard, I almost felt like he knew that he was going to have to die for dobbing Jimmy in.
Yeah, no, I didn't think that at all. It just was, he was a naive kid.
Yeah. Just from the way they framed
the mob really
it, but it was just a sell.
You know, this is what's interesting about the show too. Mob culture, if that's even the term, is just developing. So it's not like, I fingered this guy, now I'm a dead man.
Yeah.
That's not really known. Probably 3-4 years or 2 years from what we're seeing.
Right.
And up till now in our culture, we know that if you kind of rat on a mobster, you're going to get killed. Or you're going to have to get some kind of protection to not get. But at that time, I get where he's just out there.
Yeah. it was a lovely reveal. As a lovely role. It's a bit like Edward Norton turning on his boss in Fight Club when he beats himself up.
Right.
Do you remember that scene in Fight Club where he gets the payout and full insurance for the rest of his life and just starts punching himself in the head and throwing himself back? It's just such a great scene. I wanted a little bit of that.
Well, what I liked, I mean, I thought they did one of the cleverest jobs in terms of giving us exposition, you know, his little speech right before he kills him, you know, giving that monologue of why he's killing him.
Right,
but
right.
He's given us that all the while. It's conflicting, obviously, to the character. You know, it only creates suspense for you know, the man who's about to die. So I thought that was great.
It was a lovely bit of performance as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because we need to know what he's going to say later, and it's such a great way of not having to communicate that at any point in time.
Yeah, exactly.
It was well done, really well done.
All right, so on to Margaret, who had an interesting episode as well, flexing her...
Continues to grow in power.
Yeah, her political muscle. She's looking after the new girl, this new wife at the beginning, who's so naive it hurts, and asks Margaret if she's ever experienced love at first sight, which was hilarious. Remember that poem from the end of the last episode that she's reading to Nucky?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of full on and quite particular. You wonder if there is what's behind it, if there is something real behind it, or if she's just an idiot and doesn't, and even more naive than Margaret was when she got into it. Is it now that Margaret is now seeing what she was, but a more extreme version? You know what I mean? Because Margaret,
I think Margaret is seeing what she was, but I don't think this girl's going to grow any.
No, it's no. Not going anywhere. excuse me. And so then the obviously the prices have gone up to hold a business in Atlantic City. Probably a lot of that's ending up in Nucky's pocket, right?
Well, because he's lost money because of what happened with the
150K.
Right.
Yeah, and it's also summertime. And I assume that it's the same for Atlantic City, but I live up the coast a little bit, like in Rhode Island more. And in the summer, everything doubles. Like all the rents double, all the prices double, like all the college kids move out of their like pads and the summer people come in and everything's twice the price.
Right. And so Miss Frenchie can't afford it anymore. She asked Margaret to use her power. And then she says, you're probably more powerful than you think you are.
Great line, which, you know, is going to dictate the rest of the series.
Yeah, you have.
You
have more power than you suspect.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You have more power than you suspect. And she, you know, I love the way that they developed it through the episode. She gives it a nudge, and Nucky says, stay out of my business.
And she goes, okay, goes back at it
but,
again.
But yet, in that scene, he also begins it by encouraging her voting and the power of women and the power of a woman.
Mm.
And
it's quite funny.
He said, stay out of my business.
He recalls, he throws a call back to the way that she wiped the floor with Senator What's-His-Face.
Right.
And she's looking at herself in the mirror, and it's almost like you see that drop, and she goes, actually,
you're right.
There's a moment of self-awareness, of self-growth,
she
goes,
like, you know what, I can do
actually,
this.
Maybe I actually am.
Yeah.
Maybe I do have more power than I realize.
And then she sits down, and she makes it all about herself wanting dresses and totally, you know, pulls it off.
And what's interesting
is,
you know, she's not doing it to help the French lady because she's a raving bitch.
No.
She's just testing to see, you know.
She tries it on for size.
Yes. Yes.
And it fits.
No, at first I was cranky with her when I was watching her. And I was like, really? You're going to listen to this lady? Like, does everybody, because not the last episode, but the previous one, I think it was 6, her friend had planted ideas into her head about communicating
with
Nucky.
Right, no, the friend was more of a lowlife.
And,
More the trashy, like, this is how you be a mistress.
But it's like people, like make suggestions and she tries them out. And I'm like, it ends up working in her favor each time. But I'm like, mind.
Remember
think
last
about
time
this.
It didn't work in her favor, and she came back and apologized and said, someone gave me bad advice, I took it. Now, this other lady, the French lady, is a businesswoman.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, rare back then, owning her own shop. So that's really taking that advice to heart.
I mean, it didn't come back to bite her, but Nucky initially made a stand. He's like,
you're talking about the week before, Philly?
No, I'm talking about in this episode.
Yeah, I was talking about the week before. This week it didn't work.
Yeah, but in some sense, the first time it didn't work because, you know, he says, don't talk to me about my business, and that's why, she...
Oh, no, I was talking... We were talking about the week before.
No, I get that.
Got the bad advice.
Yeah, but in some sense, it's still... In the sense that she didn't have to apologize this week for, like, you know, in a sense, taking advice.
Right, right.
But, she got yelled at again in some sense. She did wrong with her first tactic, and that's why she had to go to second tactic in a way. But, you know, it's much more appealing to her being the greedy side.
What I'm trying to say is she could have backed down, and she did it. The first episode, she was like, I got bad advice, and I'm sorry. This was like, you know what, not such bad advice. I'm going to get what I want. I have an opening. I'm going to play
She gets the dress she wants.
She gets the dress she wants.
After
now,
calling
okay,
out
here we
French
go
lady.
With my quiz. Ready?
Yeah.
Now, production design. Oh. The very end of the She makes this decision.
The blue dress. She gets the blue dress, and the dress ends up with blood on it.
Right. And so don't you see, like, what...
Oh,
you know,
of course. She's yes, made totally. That decision.
Yeah, yeah
she has.
And, now, and that's why you see her face.
There was a difference between last episode, Van Alden pulls out all the cash yes. that he's been storing from mm-hmm. Jimmy that you think he's going to send to his wife for his wife to get pregnant, and at the last minute he pulls it and he sends it back to Jimmy's wife. He makes the moral call. And in this one, I was watching that and I was like, ah, oh, you know what? Margaret says, it wasn't my daughter who did you the favor. It was me. And I still thought, knowing Margaret, she's going to give that blue dress to that nice lady. Her. And then Margaret comes in wearing it.
No, because I think she knows that lady is just a...
Yeah. But for a minute, I entertained the possibility.
I didn't think so. Because you know what? It's not like she's a nice lady, the girl.
No, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
why I knew she wasn't going to.
She's a very astute judge of character, Margaret.
But she's taken another step into hell.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is what comes along with it. You know, you want the blue dress, but you're getting the blood on it.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. That was a wonderful little light.
There's
the way
blood
that
on your hands as well.
Right. Oh,
so true.
You can't escape it. You can't escape it. So interesting, and who knows how she's going to exercise that power in the future, but I'm sure it's going to start getting interesting.
Well, now...
Because when Nucky was in real trouble... when he really needed her, or needed someone to go in and get his book that has in it all the information of everyone who's got his hand in his pocket, she was the one he called.
That's right, because you know what she is? She's a good soldier. And that power she exercises, she's going to do little things to feather her nest, but ultimately she's going to be the woman behind the man.
Behind every man is a great woman.
It's so nice watching that growth, you know, like mm-hmm. the growth of Jimmy into the mobster, the growth of her into that position in this
into
kind
the matriarch,
of
you
into
know,
the matriarch of the you know the
of this crime family.
It's very interesting. All right, so let's move on to Nucky. War is coming, right?
Nucky, who is arcing from half a gangster.
To a
full gangster, and we're watching the arc. He's not there yet, but you're gonna see after this. This is too close now.
Oh yeah, this is gonna shock the hell out of him. I'm sure. I mean, his brother's been shot, and looks like he might be on the way out.
Right. Well.
For political reasons, as to his use in the show, who knows in the future. Mm-hmm. But so, Nucky, the election's coming. He's trying to put things in place politically. But then these guys, the Delaria brothers. I mean, I love this scene when they meet Rothstein. The guys who are on.
Breaks my heart. It breaks my heart.
What does Bethany?
I don't mean to jump ahead in this towards the end of the scene, but like I'm projecting that they can't even read.
No, they don't know what they saw. They just saw their lives.
So they're amazing.
They're illiterate.
Did you see the way he held the pen?
It just killed me.
The nice thing about the Bronx Zoo, there are bars between you and the monkeys. Rothstein's last line.
Amazing. And you know, and then here's a little filmmaking 101. I remember arguing with my last DP on the film about the power of an insert shot.
Right.
Did any of you catch just the shot, the close-up of the pen? No, the pen. Right. It was just like... They focused on that pen being, that was it.
Handed over.
Once they touched that pen, dead.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
It was just, pieces of meat.
See you later.
Hilarious. So Rothstein's moving in, very clearly wants all of the Atlantic City business.
I do not like Nucky Thompson. He's amazing.
I find him greedy and unreasonable.
Normally, I would do business with such a man.
What a projection that is.
He's
Well, Nucky, on the other hand, he can't fault the man who is greedy, you know?
Honest in the greed. Like it's
authentic.
Yeah, Rothstein's fantastic, and I just hope we see more and more of him. I also loved his line, reputation takes a lifetime to build and a second to destroy, which is obviously on his mind because his reputation's at stake with the
White Sox scandal.
Right, which
1919.
Bearing down him. Anyway, so Nucky's in some trouble, and it really comes to his front door when they try to kill him at the end, because obviously Jimmy hasn't got to the boys in time. Lucky gets away. I mean, Lucky was about to be killed. He knows that. The cops come in. Lucky's free. So he can obviously report back to Rothstein that of what the next move was, because it got, you know, diffused. And so they step it up and try and wipe him out. And if it weren't for German...
I was about to say something there. You know, this might be a far stretch, but I'm just going to cut back to a second where the second-in-command police guy is going, hey, Nucky, you know, I'm your man, I'm your man. I'm like, maybe he can get the German guy in here because he's pretty loyal. Maybe he can have, like, another use for him.
Oh, yeah, we're not discussing the deputy. No, that's a great
thing. Wow. A future head of the police force the German guy.
He saved his life. If somebody saved my life, I'd be saying, hey, you know what, you're going to move up in the world now.
He handled himself pretty well. He got the gun out of the way, and then he shot the kid in the leg.
He'll keep him close, though. He needs to be, like, with him at all times because he's that
guy. But what I loved about that little touch, I don't know if you just saw his face, the German guy's face, his concern about the fact that he was responsible for now this innocent woman being shot. That was straight where his mind went, which was just a wonderful touch and a wonderful, you know, a character is how we respond under pressure, right? And there we saw kind of his heart, and I think that was a nice touch.
What about the deputy?
What about him?
I mean, it's just amazing how he is trying to tell Nucky, you know what, don't worry.
Oh, my God. It was most beautifully the least reassuring, reassuring argument ever.
He was almost taking a power stance in a way where he was like, so I'll be the sheriff and don't worry. I'll take care of you, Nucky. And Nucky's looking at him like, are you kidding me? You know, I could crush you like an ant. Like,
yeah, it's not.
Why are you even saying this? I expect you to take care of me. Just stop talking.
Who's going to become sheriff? But it's not going to be him.
No, I mean, who knows? I mean, and
the idea was planned. I mean, especially in this episode, change.
I don't think he's the guy.
I don't think he's the guy. But I don't think
someone's going to have. No,
I don't think the brother.
Buzz gone. You heard Dabney Coleman, which was amazing.
It's a good point.
How great though is the Commodore? Like.
Yep.
You have. I'm on my bed dying, and you're gonna give me sentiment right now.
Yeah.
About you can't replace your brother. You can't. You know.
Yeah, I loved it. You're right, Phil. That was. I mean, it was a real theme of the episode. And he said, people want change. Give it to them, or at least pretend you're giving it to them, or at least make them think you're giving it to them. And I couldn't help but feel that there was a direct comment on, you know, the American political situation right now.
Of course
Obama's, absolutely, you know, run on change, and yet everything is still, despite all those efforts, still bogged down in kind of lunacy. But anyway, we don't need to talk. But so Nucky goes to his mentor to get advice, this guy who obviously we think now is Jimmy's father. Nucky's got to set up some new people and continue his puppeteering from there, right?
I mean, his back's against the wall. I mean, his troops are down. His power is now in jeopardy, and he's got people basically inches away from killing him.
Yeah. And now Lucky Luciano is free.
Right.
And he's coming back. Right. He's not happy. Out.
So how much is he depending on the women's vote? I mean, obviously, you know, he mentions that it hasn't been amended.
I think for re-election, I think, he's probably going to depend heavily on it.
But, like, how much is he depending on that will happen before this election?
I bet you a lot.
Yeah.
As he said, I'm going to...
Does it happen? What date does it happen in this
country? In the early 20s, so I think it will.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, a lot of juicy stuff going on to look forward to for next week. It'd be interesting to see how Nucky responds.
Do you like the show?
Yeah. I do like the show. It's with like I said, the exposition line right before he's about to shoot him, shoot the snitch. You know, they convinced me that they can be good writers.
All right. So you guys,
it's been won over.
It's all good, Phil. You won Phil over. Very good.
All right, guys. So let's move on to this week's news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, here we go. Michael Pitt will have a spread in this month's V-Man magazine, photographed by the legendary director Gus Van Sant. It hits stands on November 11th, so they're already out. Margaret Schroeder's little girl Emily is actually played by identical twins. Lucy and Josie Galina, who are 4 years old. They live in New Jersey and have crushes on Steve Buscemi. Who doesn't?
Hilarious.
Nice. And he has a joke for them every time he sees them. That's really cute.
A new one, I guess.
Or, I mean, if you're four, the same one is still really
that's
funny.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So he might, that's handy to have fans.
I hope
like
they're
that.
Not dirty, though.
You just know Buscemi's such a great guy to work with. I mean, oh, his reputation is so.
Really?
In the business,
yeah. Really. What have you heard about it, Kev?
I mean, just the general. Well, for indie filmmakers, he's just so generous because look at how many indie movies he's done.
Yeah.
And I know the fact that, you know, for him to be on The Sopranos and then HBO to bring him on this and to give him a role that requires such heavy lifting and so many hours, they know that they can't have a douchebag in that role.
Yeah,
they've got to have a guy who's a good team player who's going to work hard for them, not complain, not give them a hard time. And,
yeah.
And he's the man. It also says here that Steve Buscemi is very busy now that season one has wrapped. He's filming Rampart, starring Sigourney Weaver, Ben Foster, and Woody Harrelson, as well as On the Road with Kirsten Dunst, Kristen Stewart, Sam Riley, and Viggo Mortensen. Wow, those are some powerful casts. We have Paz de la Huerta, who plays Nucky's girlfriend. She was born and raised in New York City and began acting at the age of 4. She's a skilled artist, designer, writer, and is currently working on the Memento Mori project as a trilogy of 3 short films she did, each shot 4 years apart, beginning when she was 17. Oh my goodness. One of my girlfriends was in acting class with her.
Really? What did she say?
A few years back, and she said that she is that sex, that she,
sex
like,
kitten.
That's who she is.
Really?
Like, that is 100% her that we're getting on camera. So I thought that was
amazing.
Fun.
Good bit of casting.
Like, oh, my
wow.
God.
That would be a handful. Oh, God.
Literally. All right. Yeah. It was just announced that Michael Shannon, who plays Van Alden, will be starring in The Iceman. And it also says here that Mickey Rourke was up for that role. Sorry, Mickey. It's the true story of Richard Kulinski. I hope I got that right. The notorious contract killer and family man, along with James Franco and Benicio del Toro.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see that.
But
we'll go and see that.
But check this out. Kulinski claimed to have murdered over 250 men over a career that lasted from 1948 till 1986, working as a hitman for 5 major crime families. And he was
40 years of killing people.
13 when he made his first kill. I'm just amazed that you can, I mean, usually you can only work for one company, and that's like, how can you work for 5 major families?
When you're good.
He's like Ryan Seacrest.
Do you like get
Fox? He's on E.
He's got a bit foot in every door.
Do you just get conflict hits sometimes though? Like, oh crap, no.
I'm sure, but he's an independent contractor, and that's exactly what they call him.
That's amazing. Wow. God bless him. All right,
if anyone can pull off a film titled The Iceman, it's Shannon going on Van Alden. Jeepers.
No, it's a play. Is it a play? Yeah, I think it's a play.
Right.
All right. So Gretchen Mol, who plays Jillian, is expecting her second child with her husband, Paranormal Activity 2's director Kip Williams. Their first child is, and I know I'm not going to get this right, Potomle John Williams. It's spelled Potomley, if anybody can
fatty.
Say
Fatty.
All right.
Yeah, they stuff that. He's going to get called Fatty at school.
I don't know. If anybody can get the proper pronunciation of that, that'd be rad. Also, Michael Pitt, who plays Jimmy, attended the Boardwalk Empire premiere in Rome last week. That must have been fun. And that's your AfterBuzz TV Boardwalk Empire news and gossip for this week.
Thank you very much, Bethany. So, predictions for next week, guys. Three episodes left. It's going to be hotting up. What's going to happen, Kevin, after this, like, this little bit of violence, this attempt on Nucky's life?
I can't tell you what's going to happen next episode. I can tell you what's going to happen over the 3.
All right.
And then I can tell you how I would like it to go.
Okay.
Whether they'll take this route. I would like to see Nucky get his ass kicked a little more.
Right.
As is usually typical on these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then, would it be 12 or 13 fills the final one of the season?
13.
So in episode 13, they'll all receive their comeuppance, with the exception of Rothstein and Luciano. But everyone will get their comeuppance. And I'm expecting the, who is the black gangster?
Chalky. He comes back next
who
week.
Who will be stepping up and allying with with Nucky.
I was wondering if he might become like a de facto, actually kind of
with Rothstein.
That Chalky might become like a de facto kind of fill in for Eli. You know, like some real manpower.
We need help, and that's he's a great ally, and he's strong, and he's pissed at those guys.
Yeah, because they killed his man.
And Doyle. He's gone.
Doyle, I can't wait for him to die.
Comeuppance is coming.
I can't wait for him to die.
I can't tell you what episodes, but it's coming.
He's just such a slimy little prick. He needs it in the neck.
He does.
Bethany, what's going to happen with Jimmy's wife and her lesbian lover? Give us the inside female scoop.
As if I know their minds. I have no idea. I really, on this one, I'm very confused.
Here it is. Will she run away with her? She asks. We know that the photographer lady is going to ask her to run away and bring the kid. Will she leave?
I think for the storyline, maybe the second to last episode out, we'll see her go, but she's coming back. I mean, she'll come back for the second season. She might leave for this season, but she'll eventually be back.
You agree
back.
With that?
I agree. I think I'd like to see her out of there because it's just going to make Jimmy weaker, and we need Jimmy to be strong right now.
Yeah.
But if she does go, oh no, she'll come back.
Yeah, and she'll come back crawling. She'll be like, yeah, I'm so sorry, I messed up.
And that'll be a nice thing for season two.
Yeah,
I think, you know, if she leaves now and then comes back, and nice conflict there. I mean, for me, you know, we saw a fight between Van Alden and his superior, obviously because of the death of a witness.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's going to be, you know, full head on because, you know, this is now the second time that he messed up.
I'm sorry, Phil. He was arguing with his underling.
This episode.
No, for next week.
I saw it next week, too, but I'm just to clarify because I kind of was zoning out on that. So he also argues with the supervisor
as well. Superintendent calls him up and gives him a heap of crap about the witness being killed.
Yeah, and you know,
which of course he wanted to happen, and he ordered it. He wasn't happy. The superintendent was not happy.
See, I thought
when Jimmy was caught.
Yeah, no, he's in on it. The superintendent's he's one of Nucky's guys.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and with Telegram this week, it's Van Alden's got. You're gonna see him in this episode. Start fearing.
He's on his own. He's back to the wall. No one's listening to him. All right, that brings us to the end of AfterBuzz TV for today. Boardwalk Empires Season 1, Episode 9. I'm Paul Ashton. Thank you very much, Phil, Bethany, Kev, and Corey in the booth. Guys, thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next week for Episode 10. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Ciao.
It's an amazing show.
For producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer Corey Sheehan, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to host an AfterBuzz show of your own, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com or buzz into our Twitter account or Facebook page by searching AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Later.